Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking with Dennis Ferris. He's the CEO of Dragonfly Energy. Here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Dennis Ferris. He is the CEO of Dragonfly Energy. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Great to be here again.
You do battery storage of all kind, and we can get into details on that as we go along here. But I just wanted to talk to you initially about the whole energy industry, because it's such an interesting time. We went through this long period, it seems, of where, we were going to all of these clean energy sources and getting away from fossil fuels, and that was going to be the future. You saw everybody from the major auto manufacturers jumping on board. You saw Berkshire Hathaway buying up power companies all across the West, including here in Nevada. But now with this administration, you've seen a reversal to where we're promoting fossil fuels. And I have no problem with fossil fuels. But I also think that it's too late in the game to reverse. We can maybe slow down things, but I don't think we can reverse. Is that your take on where we are with clean energy? And if that's even an appropriate term?
Well, my take on it is, we are, as a company, we are technology focused, and we like developing technology which happens to be focused on energy storage. And in terms of energy storage isn't going anywhere. So what we're doing from the point of view of batteries really hasn't changed and isn't affected by the direction of the administration. From an energy landscape as a whole, I think one thing that has evolved is we are actually using more and more energy, and a lot of that is data center driven and AI driven. Those take an enormous amount of energy, and there were some pretty ambitious goals when it came to electrifying transportation as a whole, and it didn't really match up with our ability to scale up battery production to be able to make the entire fleet electrified that quickly. And there may be a little bit of hangover from that. So, I think that administrations change and things go back and forth. But
sure,
overall, the development of the technology continues to move forward. And, you know, I'm excited to see where this goes.
Well, me too. But it's just fascinating to see all the different things. You know, what was it? Mike Tyson made the comment years ago about, you know, you can have all the great plans, I'm paraphrasing, you know, for your fight, but it all changes when the first punch hits. And it's the same thing when, you know, you're trying to change a technology and there are all these unforeseen circumstances. I mean, the average person wouldn't have dreamed for 1 second of the needs of data storage centers and AI. I mean, AI, even though it's been around a lot longer than people think, you know, as long as Siri's been there, it's been AI and lots of other things and uses as well. But the speed with which it's moving now, did you think it was going to happen this quickly?
No.
Because it directly affects your company in terms of, you know, we need battery storage. We need the technologies you're developing.
Yeah. I mean, AI is, you know, candidly, is not really my area. But I certainly knew that these were energy hogs, these data centers, and computation takes a lot of energy. I guess I didn't foresee the speed at which our thinking on the energy landscape would evolve. But as I said, it hasn't changed the approach of our company to how we're trying to develop the technology.
Okay, and so explain that. Walk us down that road.
Well, we've been developing processes to manufacture battery electrodes, and it's really based on physics, aerosol mechanics, fluid mechanics, just fundamental science, and that's what we're developing. And there's an opportunity to apply these fundamental concepts to lower the cost of the manufacturing so that we can onshore the manufacturing and be able to compete on the world stage. And ultimately, it's very difficult to compete if you don't innovate on the manufacturing. If you just try to copy what's being done overseas, it's just too hard. But if you can leapfrog and do something different, then I think you can create a product that is able to be economically competitive. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to apply technology to be able to onshore manufacturing. And it's a product, as I said, batteries aren't going anywhere regardless of the energy policies.
When you talk about the onshoring, is the competitive rate based on labor costs and developing the technologies? So you're trying to find ways to be able to jump ahead because of that? I mean, how does that piece work?
I think for batteries, it's more than the labor cost. I think we have fallen behind on manufacturing innovation. And I think we need to catch up there and, as I mentioned, even leapfrog.
But certainly, okay, so explain, be more specific about that. Where have we fallen behind? And if it's not a labor, because my initial thought was, okay, if you can manufacture it in Vietnam, for example, it's going to be a lot cheaper and innovate in Vietnam. That you can hire a lot more people for a lot less money, mm-hmm. or do it in India or wherever. But what are the challenges and how are you addressing them to be able to move forward here?
So by falling behind, I guess I'm referring to the ability to go to very large scale quickly. And that's something that China does very, very well.
Because of government investment.
For sure. I mean, it's mostly spurred by government investment. And it's difficult for American investors to put up so much money for a very large project without a clear return. And it makes it even more difficult when you have price manipulation, you know, and so the return becomes even more uncertain. So our approach, what we're trying to do is, well, is there a way to manufacture without so much upfront capital? Can you reduce the cost of the manufacturing by streamlining the production process? And as an example, what we've done is applied some basic principles of dry aerosol powder coating to produce particle films which comprise a lithium-ion battery, anode, or cathode. The way it's done conventionally is a wet solvent-based process that involves a relatively expensive and energy-intensive mechanism to evaporate and reclaim solvent. And in order for that to be economical, you have to go to very, very large scale. And that's what they do very well in Asia. So what we're trying to do is, can we compete while sort of growing in a modular fashion and staying relatively small scale and growing with our markets so that we can be insured of a return on our investment?
So it's a real balancing act there. With lithium, for example, lithium mining, it's been raised as an issue of national security. Is what you're doing an issue of national security for us to be able to leapfrog? And therefore, would there be interest from the government to be able to invest in the way that they have, you know, taken portions, for example, of Thacker Pass?
Sure. Yeah, I think so. It is a matter of national security. We need to be able to innovate and compete. Otherwise, we're basically ceding wealth.
Okay. And is there interest from any areas of the federal government, whether it be military or otherwise?
For sure. There is interest in, are manufacturing initiatives both at the energy and defense levels of the government.
Okay. And you're having these conversations through Dragonfly?
We're always active in seizing opportunities when they come around.
Okay. So in terms of leapfrogging, you know, how do you envision this? You know, as a company, what can you do to be able to move ahead without incurring such costs that it's detrimental to the company?
I think what made us unique was when we got started, there was not a lot of appetite in the investment community to fund manufacturing. And that's why we became a battery pack and system storage system assembler, and we went to market. And we became profitable pretty quickly early on. And that's how we sort of developed the technology and filed the patents to basically develop an intellectual property portfolio. So the way we've mitigated risk historically is we've been funding the technology through revenues, which is pretty unique for a technology company, certainly for a technology startup. And that's the way we progressed for years. Now, over the last few years, we've had to sort of refocus our efforts on growing revenues again. And that continues to be our current focus, growing into adjacent markets. Historically, we were very successful in RV, and now we're expanding into heavy-duty trucking and more marine markets and industrial solar.
Okay, and what kind of reception are you getting from those industries?
Very good reception. There's a time constant there. It takes a little while to develop the products and to pilot the products and to ensure that the customers have a return on their investment when they apply your system. And all of our data and their data is showing, especially in the heavy-duty trucking market, that this is a very, very good solution. And so it's going well.
Okay. Now, are you competing with, electric vehicles, in terms of their power and ability?
No. So this is where we've done things differently. Our focus has not been on propulsion. It has always been on storage. So when you talk about what we've done in the RV industry, we're not propelling the RV. We're actually powering all of the house appliances. So the extension to heavy-duty trucking makes sense when you consider that the driver is driving down the road and charging the house battery bank, that's our bank, and when they have to pull over at night and rest, they turn the engine off. They don't have to idle the engine, but the storage system powers all of the onboard appliances. And that's what we've proven out and have done very well in the RV business. For a fleet, there's a direct return on investment because they're not idling the truck. They're not running their diesel generators. They're not burning fuel. So it just makes sense.
Is the power generated, I know this is not your area, but is the power generated by regenerative braking? I mean,
in our systems, comes right. So you can charge the batteries either through the alternator, charging directly from the alternator as they're driving down the road, or you can just plug in. So there's a variety of ways in the heavy duty trucking application. It makes the most sense to just charge while they're driving.
Okay, and it's cost-effective.
It is cost-effective, yes. So you're, I mean, the whole premise is that since you're not idling and you're not burning fuel,
right,
and you actually have a much more comfortable environment for the driver as he's pulled over, you don't have the engine running or restarting, there is actually a payoff for the fleet, and it's quite quick.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We have much more with Dennis Ferris. He is the CEO of Dragonfly Energy after this timeout.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
You're in trouble with the law. It's easy to think you'll lose everything, but there is hope. I'm Attorney Oren Johnson. Your first step is to hire a serious attorney with the experience to successfully navigate the legal system for you.
Sometimes hope means addiction treatment instead of jail and making sure you're treated fairly.
Sometimes hope means fearless trial attorneys will stand up to the government when they get it wrong. Call or text Oren Johnson Law.
We'll make a plan.
You'll take back your life.
The new year is bringing new ways to win big during the $175,000 Winner Wonderland giveaways at Tamarack Casino. Win up to $5,000 in cash every week and a top prize of $20,000 in cash during the grand finale drawing. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dennis Ferris. He is the CEO of Dragonfly Energy. You create all kinds of batteries. I mean, I know that the RV batteries were the big seller in the beginning. But we need all kinds of storage needs now because we're becoming such energy hogs that to be able to keep the costs at a reasonable level for the consumer, not just the businesses, but for the general public, we need to have storage. Are you looking at residential storage? You know, I know you do deep storage. Explain how this part works.
We'd like to get into residential storage eventually, but that would be through the deployment of our technology once we've onshored the production and we're able to deploy the new chemistries we've been looking at. We've been working on a solid-state, non-flammable storage cell, which is pretty
okay,
unique.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you about that, because that's a big issue. You get in a plane these days, and they say, if you have lithium batteries, don't put them in the overhead rack.
Mm-hmm.
Put them where we can see them, and we can do something about them. Discuss that.
Yeah, well, you can't check a lithium-ion battery, but yeah, you're right. There's the electrolyte in any lithium-ion battery is flammable, and you could run into situations that could ignite the electrolyte through a process called thermal runaway. And so folks are concerned about that. So as you're designing battery packs, it's very important to design around that risk. So that's why we've been focused on developing a non-flammable option. Now, over the last couple of years, we have not been able to invest in that. That, as I mentioned, we had to refocus
sure.
our efforts on growing revenue. But in terms of residential storage, that is a product that I think has to evolve so that you can get more widespread deployment of storage in grid-tied buildings, but buy-in by utility companies. I think if a utility company is going to mandate storage in buildings tied to their grid, it has to be very low risk. It has to not present a liability that makes it untenable for the consumer or the utility company.
Okay, so for example, are we seeing that discussion between your company and NV Energy?
You know, discussions have happened in the past, but quite frankly, you know, this is something that we have to have the capital to deploy the technology, and we have not had that. So that's why our focus right now is on revenue. We have to grow the revenue, we have to get back to profitability, and we have to be able to finance the development of this chemistry, of this battery.
It would seem, and maybe it's an angel investor class of some kind, that, you know, as we move forward in the next 5 years, we're going to need this storage capability. I mean, it seems like, you know, your company and others like yours have a golden opportunity here if it's realized.
For sure. You're absolutely right. And that's, in fact, why we became a public company, to be able to access the capital to do that. And so it's, as a public company, we're not looking at the angel investor class so much. We're looking for, you know, public investors. And
yeah, and I'm using the wrong phrase there. But I just mean, when I was saying angel investor, companies that are looking to find companies like yours mm-hmm. that are on the cutting edge, that, yes, they're going to take a chunk to be investors, but they're going to provide the capital that you need to be able to make that leapfrog you referred to earlier.
You're right. But the lithium-ion battery space is a funny space right now, because it's very crowded. There's been a lot of talk on solid state and a lot of talk on a lot of different, you know, technologies that have not materialized in lithium-ion batteries. And that's why our focus has always been to de-risk technology by developing products, going to market, and getting revenue. So what sets us apart is that we have revenue. We're not a pre-revenue company. We have a history of profitability, and we're developing technology. So that, you know, should make us an attractive investment target, right? But, you know, the public markets are fickle, and we've gone through some tumultuous, you know, few years with rising interest rates, and it's hurt the ability of investors to invest in growth opportunities. They go to safer havens. So that's what we've been dealing with as we've refocused our resources on revenue growth.
The government has made a big deal in the last, at least the last year or so, and in the previous Trump administration, of, you know, onshoring manufacturing. Has that helped?
Well, you know, the way that the approach has been through tariffs, right? And I think tariffs can be applied in a very, you know, productive way to encourage onshore manufacturing. You know, the way it has been applied through this administration is a little bit more, you know, universal. You know,
you're very kind.
I know, it's been a sledgehammer. You know, yeah. quite frankly, so everybody has had to deal with it. So in the long run, I think it will be it will be very successful for companies like ours. You know, in the short run, it's just something that we have to navigate, you know, and I think we've done a pretty good job, because since we are assembling our own battery packs, we don't import everything. You know, we only have to import, basically the cells are the only thing that we cannot get, you know, outside of Asia today. Uh-huh. But our ability to onshore that really puts us in a very strong position moving forward.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the heat back on today. Call us today and we'll fix it today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why freeze for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your furnace fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year. and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Ring in the new year with newfound cash during the New Year Cash Extravaganza only at the Carson Valley Inn. Win up to $7,500 in giveaways every week. Then win big with $10,000 in cash and free play during the grand prize party January 31st. Start 2026 with a bang only at the Carson Valley Inn.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dennis Farris. He is the CEO of Dragonfly Energy. So you're still importing these cells. Why can we not make them in this country?
Well, there's a lot of different types of cells, and some cells are made in this country. The focus has been on propulsion cells, as we mentioned, like, for example, Tesla vehicles and electric vehicles. So the reason is you need capital. You have to invest in it. And in order to make a large investment, you need a clear return on investment. You need offtake. It's a process, so it's going to happen, but certainly the economy needs to cooperate.
And we will continue to follow your progress and your success, and we appreciate you being here always.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain, moving 95% of our freight in the Silver State. And while essential, the road isn't always smooth. Supply chain disruptions, rising fuel costs, and unrealistic rules and laws that hamper our ability to serve our customers and country. Our prosperity and every sector of the economy, manufacturing, mining, medicine, and food from farm to table is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Check out our archives section on NevadaNewsmakers.com. Great interviews going back as far as 2002. Really worth watching. We'll see you on the next broadcast.